Hello and welcome to Intrepid Heroes Presents, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. With me today is Jake Reynolds. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So Jake is the newly appointed venture captain for the St. Louis and Western Illinois region. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And this is official now, right?
It's officially been submitted. We're still waiting on the backlog for the NDAs to come through.
So that could be 6 or 7 or 8 days?
Supposedly it's moving pretty more quickly now. Right, I know they've been leaning forward with that, just kind of waiting on the NDAs to go out at this point.
Excellent, excellent. So tell me a little bit about your region, as I hear it's gone through some changes recently.
So it has. This time last year, we had 2 active locations for Starfinder and 1 active location for Pathfinder, with one of those actually being 2 and 1.
And where were those locations specifically?
So one was in St. Charles, in Missouri, just west of St. Louis, and the other one is in Fairview Heights, Illinois. So since then, we have grown. We now have, on Mondays, we have Starfinder in Fairview Heights, Illinois. On Tuesdays, we have Pathfinder in Edwardsville, Illinois, and in St. Louis, Missouri. On Wednesdays, we have Pathfinder also in St. Louis at a different store there at game night. On Thursdays at the Fantasy Shop in St. Charles, we have first edition, second edition, and Starfinder. And then starting October 1st, on Fridays, we're actually going to offer... we don't know yet what the demand is going to be for, but we'll be offering games there on the Scott Air Force Base.
Excellent, excellent. And how do people sign up for these things? Do you have a separate site? You do it on Warhorn?
So we post everything on Warhorn. We also keep the Paizo website up to date with the locations for all the for all 6 of the venues as well. And we have a Facebook page that links to both of those also.
Right. So somebody wants... So it sounds like to me that Facebook is like a really easy way to find it.
It is.
What would people search on in Facebook in order to find your
St. Louis Pathfinder / Starfinder Society.
Okay, and that'll find them there. And they can join, or do they have to be manually added, or is it automatic kind of thing?
So it's not an automatic add. There is the approval there, but it's pretty much a blanket approval. It's there for just the basic screening for bots.
Right, right. And then people can find out everything that's going on, and you
absolutely
post it there.
Pinned right at the top of the page has a link to our Warhorn, as well as a list of not only our stuff, but some of the other local areas in as you get further south and west in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. So how does one become a VC, and why would one want to do that?
So I can't speak for how. There's not really a, we'll call it a formal progress, right? So, you know, with me being active duty military, there's a pretty formal structured progression. You do this, you get X amount of time, and you promote. With Paizo, it's a little bit different. It's all on a volunteer basis, and it's whether or not you can fill the requirements that each position has, and if there's a demand that would warrant that. Some people have started straight as a venture captain. Others have not. So it's a little more fluid in that sense. But what it comes down to is if you have a love for the games and you're willing to help organize in some way, shape, or form, then we could certainly use you. You know, and at that point, you could be a venture agent, and all of your scenarios are provided to you for free for all of the society, whether it be Pathfinder, Starfinder, or the card game. And then if, as you grow, maybe you begin to support conventions and things like that, you know, you could look at becoming a venture lieutenant or a venture captain.
So what are the requirements for a venture lieutenant versus a venture captain?
The biggest difference is the con requirement. So right now, the venture captain has a 2 con requirement, and the venture lieutenant has a 1 con requirement.
And what does that mean particularly?
So essentially, it is hosting and running a convention for the Paizo portion of it, for the Paizo representation of it. So you have you are responsible for kind of like what's going on here with the organization of all of the Paizo games and stuff like that.
And so what conventions are you working with in your area?
So... from primary responsibility, I have DICON, which is the first weekend in June in Collinsville, Illinois. And then we're still working out my second one for the requirement. I'm going to be helping out with Origins moving forward
excellent.
In the future.
Wow.
Instead of just, I normally GM 10 slots for them every year.
Right.
Now we're going to look at maybe adding some more responsibility for me there.
So that's interesting. So Origins isn't restricted just to the folks in the Columbus area then?
It is not. It's predominantly ran by them because they're local and that makes a lot of things easier. But ultimately, that's Mike McNerney's baby over there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily restricted to only them, although there is a limit to how many people can get credit for, you know, any one convention based on the what kind of convention it is.
Right, but that's a pretty good size convention, also the major release convention for Starfinder.
It
so
is.
Having a lot of involvement from venture captains kind of makes sense for that. So.
Right.
Right. Excellent. Now, you mentioned you were in the service. Which branch?
Air Force.
Right. And so you are going to be running games on an Air Force base.
That's correct.
What's that process like to get that approval?
So it's actually pretty straightforward. The base is pretty supportive of morale and welfare programs. So the base chapel has agreed to give a space in general for a larger group on base called the Dragons and Wizards Gaming Club. And then within that, we will be offering Paizo games as well as there's some other systems in play. You can get almost anything there. They've got people playing Catan. They've got Shadowrun, D&D. And we're going to be starting to represent Paizo there as well.
Good, good. And are there a lot of folks that are stationed on base that play these games? Are there people coming from off base? Or
so all of the above. The caveat is the ability to access the base. So most contractors and active duty reserve and guard can get onto the base without much of an issue. If beyond that, you would have to be escorted by somebody who did have an ID card to join that. So it is not completely publicly open. It's open to anybody who has the ability to access the base.
But do you still post it on Warhorn as well?
We do.
Say these are the requirements or?
Absolutely. I've had several people, myself included, who are military, and when they travel for work, they look for local games. So if you're right there, the chapel that we host at is actually walking distance from the lodging office there. So if you're staying in the hotel on base, we're only walking distance from you, and we're after work hours on Friday.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent. So how does your experience in the military help you or translate in terms of your role as a venture captain first? Does it do anything for you in that?
Organization, first and foremost. That one's the easy one. Without some sort of sense of organization and direction, it's sometimes difficult to put these kind of things together. I've seen people who wanted to step up and didn't really have any experience or know how to go about organizing based on a future vision. And so that was what I took from the military with me was I had an established goal and I outlined how I was going to achieve that goal and broke that into smaller steps and then started recruiting people to help me as well, which are now my venture lieutenants and venture agents.
Sounds like a lot like project management is what I always look at. You know, the folks that have experience with that seem to understand what it takes to get all the moving pieces together, and folks that don't have not worked in those kind of systems have a little bit more of a challenge.
Absolutely. And the other piece that comes with that is the ability to work with people regardless of different backgrounds and things like that. And sometimes you have a lot of people who are very introverted in our gaming culture who don't know how to maybe open themselves up, I guess, is a good way to put it, or can be socially awkward. That's not uncommon in our culture as well. And that's something we're used to working with in the military as well, because people come from all kinds of different backgrounds and locations and things like that. The other piece of that is that being able and willing to address something that needs to be addressed. So not everybody feels comfortable addressing maybe a problem player or behavior that isn't appropriate. And that's something that you kind of get forced to do as you progress through the military, is be willing to address people in an appropriate manner to work things at the lowest level and, you know, fix the problem and make it better for everybody.
Do you ever find that you kind of have to hold back a little bit and things that you might do normally with some of the airmen you're dealing with to kind of correct a situation doesn't quite work with folks in the gaming community?
Absolutely. Rule number one is you know, people who are coming to the game store, whether they be other volunteers, whether they be their players, they're not subordinates. Yeah. And so you talk to them very differently. It's you're less directive with things and more requesting.
Cool. So you're also a Starfinder GM?
I am.
Do you GM Pathfinder as well?
Second edition I do. I have 9 tables of first edition experience. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, that was a very intimidating jump for me because I started in March of 17.
Oh, wow.
It was my very first tabletop game ever in my life.
Wow, so you're pretty young in this. Yeah,
I was. And then by the shortly after there, they had announced Starfinder. And being able to jump in with a system from the ground up and adding sci-fi to it was just right in my wheelhouse.
So what drew you to tabletop games? Being somebody, I presume maybe you played online games before, or?
So yes, I did. I actually tried to get into D&D back in 92. My father had some preconceived notions about D&D.
I've heard these before.
Yeah. Yes. And so for any of my adolescent life, that was 100% off the table. When I joined the military, I initially started off as an aircraft mechanic, and that was a culture that was also not very gaming friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually, when I transitioned to becoming a flight engineer and flying, I met some more nerds. So at that point, I kind of found my home, and I started with X-Wing.
I
had also been playing EverQuest.
Mm-hmm.
Was my first RPG-ish experience, and I started that back in April 19th of 99. And so, combination of playing EverQuest.
That date very specifically.
I do. I do know that.
Why is that so relevant?
So that was the date that I got to my first duty station after tech school.
Okay.
And the first thing I did after I signed into my room was I went to CompUSA and I bought a Compaq and a copy of EverQuest to play.
Wait, what are these things you're talking about? Compaq,
right?
CompUSA. I didn't think you were that old, Jake.
No, I also bought an AOL CD.
Wow.
Or got my free AOL CD to sign up for AOL that day.
So along the lines and with your military experience in GMing, have you seen any benefit there in terms of, like, have you done, like, Against Aeon Throne or something where maybe kind of interpreting a more militaristic enemy or environment or...
I would definitely say there's some carryover there. You know, it's not something I intentionally ignore. I don't necessarily try to employ tactics per se that would be used officially. I would say it actually more translates to rules adjudication. You know,
interesting.
So,
yeah.
One of the things that it comes down to is one of the things they teach in military leadership is once you make a decision, stick with it. Don't start flip-flopping back and forth and changing your mind. For better or for worse, you need consistency. And so the two rules that I use the most for myself when GMing is when I make a decision, I've made a decision. But the other one is, and I heard Thirsty say this once on a Twitch stream, is rule for cool.
Right.
And so those are the two rules I try to follow when I'm GMing.
Interesting. So... along with rules, there's been a lot of discussion online about this magic item called Ring of Fangs.
Oh no, you're going to drag me into that debate.
No, I'm generally curious since you introduced it to me at Origins.
Okay,
and how great it was. What's your take on kind of what I guess Joe Pacini's posted on some definitive things online about that?
So. I don't know that I've read that post.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming, is that a relatively recent post?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so for about the last 6 weeks or so, I've been pretty far behind on my information. A lot of personal events. My wife lost her father, and some other things have been going on. So I've been fairly distracted, as well as I'm back in school full time.
Oh, yeah, I remember you were talking about
it. So my free time, after you take all of the GMing and all of the event coordination, plus cheerleading, gymnastics, Girl Scouts, piano lessons, my full-time school, and working full-time. I haven't had as much forum and social media
time. And
why
are you a venture captain again? I don't understand.
I normally manage to make all the time work, but every once in a while I hit, we'll call it my personal con season, where other things kind of fall behind.
Right. Oh, yeah, you mentioned like this is the first con you've gone to that you actually haven't had to GM anything. So.
That's correct. So even my first DICON, the very first convention I went to, I had already GM'd 3 tables of Pathfinder by that point, and it was something that I wanted to try in the convention setting. So I volunteered to GM one table at that convention. So this is actually the first one I've ever attended solely as a player.
How does that feel?
Awesome.
You're not missing having to prep and haul all that stuff with you? And
so I never miss that aspect of it. I miss the getting to be the storyteller and getting to be the facilitator and watching other people have fun that I'm helping facilitate. It's an amazing feeling. I love it more than I love playing. But sometimes I need a break from the workload. And realistically, given the things going on in my life right now, I knew I couldn't have given proper preparation to anything for this convention had I wanted to.
So you are four Nova GM, approaching five. Assuming you achieve that here in the near future, you're a venture captain now. What's the future hold for Jake?
Still a lot more Starfinder. So I don't have four Novas because I want four Novas. Four Novas is a byproduct of loving Starfinder. And I think that's going to be the same with second edition. It's a lot easier, especially when a new system comes out. Not a lot of people feel comfortable stepping up and saying, hey, Starfinder is brand new. It's a whole new game with a lot of changes from first edition Pathfinder. And a lot of people didn't feel comfortable running stuff on day one or week one or even month one. They wanted to get to experience it before GMing it. And so I was so excited by it that I was reading the rules. I finished the core rule book cover to cover in less than a week for Starfinder. And I couldn't put it down. And so I felt comfortable jumping right into GMing it. And it took close to a year before other people were like, hey, I think I'm ready to try switching and GMing that now.
And now you have a pretty solid stable of GMs, I'm guessing.
I do. So to give you kind of a perspective, I had four Novas before right before Origins. I hit my fourth Nova this last Origins, so roughly 2 years, almost 2 years of Starfinder. I have since, including the eight tables I ran at Origins, only run 16 total tables of Starfinder. So I've only run eight tables since Origins because I have other people who want to GM and who are stepping up, and I want to share that opportunity with anybody else who wants it. So now I've been starting down the second edition path and helping kick that off the ground, card game.
Oh, that's interesting. When you were talking about what you were playing in the different areas, you never mentioned the card game.
So the card game is inconsistent. We have myself and two other people who I will say regularly are ready to and willing to start a card game table. There's not a lot of player demand. We keep advertising it. It's always advertised for our Monday night store specifically. And we do have another individual who's looking to start it up at our Wednesday night location. And so we've been working with Game Night, the store there, to try and make that more official and get that kicked off.
So it's available if people are interested.
It's 100% available. If even one person says, I want to play, two's enough.
All right. Well, Jake, thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your con here, and safe travels back home.
Well, thanks, John. I appreciate it.